Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is a praying mother.
Well, this morning is, you know, the whole world celebrate Mother's Day, and I was just reflecting, and I want to share with you all a Mother's Day message. Can we have the slide, please, Robert? Ah, blessed Mother's Day to all of you, right? And sometimes I was just reflecting, you know, how many of you who are mothers find parenting is very easy? Right? Huh? Easy, eh? Yeah. Only one brave soul says that. Right? Someone sent me this slide about Jessica. Parenting isn't stressful at all. Right? So how many of you can echo Jessica's heart as parents, right? You know, she's just 27 years old. But this morning, I just want to share the message called The Power of a Praying Mother. The Power of a Praying Mother. And of course, this message can be directed to fathers as well. But we save another message for Father's Day, right? But this morning, I'll talk about the power of a praying mother. And one thing I'm glad in First Light Church, I don't just see our mothers who are actively helping to raise their children to walk in the way of God. I also thank God that all the fathers in our church are really heavily invested in raising their kids as well to know the Lord. Isn't it great? No? So let's applaud our mothers and our fathers and our mates who are really in that journey of helping their children to know the Lord. No, I'm glad that really I've been to quite a few churches and been long enough in ministry to see that lots of our fathers here are very actively involved. They're not like the absent father in the midst, but really want to see their children grow up in the ways of God. But this morning, I want to talk about the power of a praying mother. And I think it's important that for all of us to understand praying for our children is a privilege. Praying for our children is a privilege. Why? Because Scripture says, long before we were formed in our mother's womb, the Lord already thought about us. He knows us by name. You know, in Scripture, when you say about someone who knows your name, name is not just your name, a Christian name, but your name is about your identity, your purpose, your calling. It's all wrapped up in it. So God, long before He created the foundation of the earth, He already knows us by name. Amen? That means we have a purpose. Eternity is written in our hearts. But then He destined a time in which all of us are born in a specific place and a specific time that we are connected specifically for something greater than we can think for ourselves. And so as praying parents, as a praying mom, you're not just praying for your kids, but you're praying with God for their purpose to come into being. Amen? So praying is a privilege because you are uttering prophetic stuff into your lives or your children in which God has already written long before the foundation of the earth. Amen? So in one sense, if you pray with God, you begin to notice something. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes, don't you think our prayer sometimes is about our opinions? Sometimes we pray according to our opinions. We don't pray according to revelation. So if I pray for someone, maybe that's my opinion of the person. I think this person needs this kind of prayer. Right? And sometimes that's what we do with our children. We pray our opinions into their lives instead of asking God for a revelation. Lord, how do you want me to pray for not just my son, but this son is also your son? Lord, how you want me to pray for not just my daughter, who is also your daughter? Then we're not praying according to our opinions. Because when you pray according to your opinions, you don't see changes, you get frustrated. You blame them. You put the problem at their feet because somehow they have not changed. But sometimes we need to check our prayer in the sense, am I praying according to my opinions or am I praying according to what God has written into their life? And if we truly invest in prayer, then one thing we will understand, your children cannot outrun your prayers. Amen? Sometimes, you know, raising children is interesting. There are times they are lovely, but there are times you wonder who they are. Right? And you know, some of you understand, right? You're not even a mother, you understand Siu Chin. Very wonderful, right? But because Siu Chin works with children, so she knows that. So there are times that we pray for children, and sometimes they can ignore what we tell them. Right, so that's why, you know, sometimes some parents say, you know why we nag at you? You know, because you never listen to us. So we repeat the law of repetition, right? We hope like by repeating again and again, somehow what we say will get into their coconut head. Yeah. But sometimes the thing is this, it can be very frustrating because there are times you want to help your kids to grow, help them to understand, but somehow they ignore you, or some of us, our kids may run away from us, right? And sometimes they may walk away from their faith. It can be a very painful parent experience. But the thing is this, trust God. Your kids can never outrun your prayer. They can hide from you. They can pretend not to hear you. They can sometimes even hurt you. But if you invest your time to pray for them, knowing that God, if you are in partnership with God, it's going to work. Amen? This is a way I want to encourage you. Just like if you look at the parable of the prodigal son, remember the younger son ran away, squandered everything, and ended up had to feed pigs and not enough food to eat. You notice the father did not go and search for the son in that story. The father waited. I think the prophetic image I can get, sometimes you must let sin run its course. I know it's a very painful thing to say. You must let sin run its course. There are people, sometimes they take the wrong step in their life. When you try to intervene, it can come back against you in a very bad way. But if you allow sin to run its course, but you patiently pray, it will come back to you. Just like those of us who understand life-saving technique, just like a person who is struggling with water, the first thing is you don't try to jump in and try to help the person because end up the person in this panic may pull you down. So most likely God wait for the person almost half drowned or totally tired, then they jump in and pull the person into safety. I think sometimes this is what happens if our children walk away from us. It can be a very painful experience or sometimes walk away from God. And sometimes you may question yourself, where have I missed it? Did I not do enough for them? And there can be a time in which you must trust God and really believe that God will turn them around. And some of you know yourself, some of you were those kids who walked away from God. Right? And somehow you realize you came back to God and you realize your parents have been praying for you or your grandparents have been praying for you and you thank God for them that they never gave up. Even though at that point in your life, you may have given up in terms of your faith journey, but somehow God works in such a way to pull you back into His goodness and His fold that you realize God never left you. He was always with you, even you did not hear His voice. He was always with you, leading and guiding you. And so, this is one person I want to introduce you called Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley is the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Just in case you do not know who is John and Charles Wesley, they were the founders of the Methodist movement. And John Wesley was a great founder of the Methodist movement, and his brother Charles wrote at least a few thousand hymns. It said that he was very good in writing hymns, that almost one-third of the Bible is in his hymns. So he said if one day you wake up, there's no more Bibles. In fact, you can take all his hymns and you can find scripture there because he really can put King James Version into a tune, in a sense. And both of them were raised by a very godly mother called Susanna Wesley. At the time, she has 19 children. 19 children. Okay, but 9 of them died very young because infant mortality was very high. But Susanna Wesley herself is the 25th child of a family of 25 children. That means she's the youngest of the 25 kids in the family. But she was known as a woman of prayer. And so she homeschooled her children, right? From 9 to 12, from 2 to 5, he homeschooled her children and he gave all his 10 kids chores to do. By 9 o'clock, all the chores must be done. And they will sit them down and begin to teach them. And Susanna Wesley was very progressive in her time. In those days, most girls don't get the privilege of formal education. But Wesley said, no, all kids in my family all should have formal education. And she taught them Greek, she taught them Hebrew, she taught them Latin, she taught them English and science and everything else, mathematics. And she was very progressive. And she was also that progressive was because those days, most sons will go to a formal school and most girls will stay at home doing so-called the girly stuff, kneading and baking and sewing. But Susanna Wesley, no. All my children must have survival skill. They must know how to cook. They must know how to mend their broken or torn clothing or at least stitch back their loose button. So she was very progressive, making sure both sons and daughters of hers are well, so-called rounded in terms of not just education, but well-rounded in life. But one of the habits of Susanna Wesley was she spent 2 hours every day praying to God. And she kept that 2 hours very sacred. Most of us can't even find something 20 minutes, right? But this is a woman who found 2 hours praying to God. And all the children knows when mother goes and pray, no one bothers mom. Right? Some of you mom, some of have, you know, you are there with your kids, they never ask you for anything. The moment you go to the bathroom, mom! The moment you need to go and something, mom! But for the first few hours, they never ask you for anything when you're in their presence. But the moment you need to step out to something, mom! But the Wesleyan kids know that if mom is in prayer, no one bothers her. But how do you run a household with 10 kids running around and all kinds of stuff? One thing about Susanna Wesley, she was a very practical prayer woman. She always wear an apron. When things overwhelm her, that's all the kids are shouting or screaming for attention or all these things happening, she gets flustered and frustrated. You know what she does? She takes her apron and then she flips it across her head. Everyone in the family say that is mom's praying apron. When she flips the apron across her head, hey, some of you should try this. All the noises in the household all cease. They say, oh, mom is praying. Mom is praying. Yeah, maybe you should try, Sarah, since you're the latest mom here, you know, once again, in a sense, just flick your apron across your head and everything just have to. No one bothers mom, but mom does it. And a few minutes later, mom, because she in her own prayer closet, come down, able to function again. Right? And sometimes I think that is the thing we ought to do. Sometimes some of us get frustrated. We say, oh, Jesus, but our Jesus is not a prayer. You get what I'm saying? Our Jesus comes not as a prayer, but comes as a different kind of interpretation. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. You know, kind of thing. You know? I think we should turn really the Jesus and God into our prayer closet. Right? But a few other things we can learn how to be a praying mother is, what should I pray for? Pray for your children's conversion. Pray for your children's conversion. God do not have grandchildren. God has children. So you might say, when they say God has no grandchildren, it means that your children's faith is not saved through you, in a sense, but it's saved through the experience of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 2:39, the Apostle Peter says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So God is also calling your children to know him because eternity has been written in their hearts. So one of the things we ought to pray and always praying that they have their own faith experiences of God. It's good that we sit them down, read to them the Bible, tell them biblical stories, tell them of the great men and women of old, tell them about the life of Jesus. But it's also good for you to share your own faith journey. And at least for Joanne and myself, we had a privilege over the past many years from reading them children's Bibles, stories, right to even in the recent years, we share our own faith journey of God. And we often tell our children, Amanda and Nan, that you too need to have your own faith experience of God. So when they are in crisis at times or they have situation in their life, when we pray with them and God answers their prayers, we say, yep, that's a marker for you. Remember this day the Lord came true for you in the situation. And as we keep on putting markers for them, do you not believe they will know the Lord? Right? Conversion is more than getting them to say the sinner's prayer. Conversion involves also a growing and maturing experience in which they step out to have a personal relationship. So there were times that my kids were growing up where they are sick or not well, they'll say, oh, Papa, Papa, pray, Papa, pray. Say, I pray with them. But a long time, through the years, I also say, you must also learn how to pray for yourself and ask God for a breakthrough in your situation. And that's how we pray for their conversion. Another thing we ought to pray for is for your children's character. Right, we know God has eternity written into their hearts. God has a purpose for them. God has gifts and talents for them. And God has given them and bestowed them with abilities. But what is more important than talents or abilities is a character. Because you need a character to able to exercise those abilities and those talents effectively. Don't you agree? Right, without character, right, to me, character is like a steering wheel of a car. You may have a very powerful car. If you have no steering wheel, right, you only can go straight sometimes. But the problem is, without steering wheel, you cannot make those right turns in your life. Character is like a steering wheel. When you pray for them, you pray that God gives them a character. And this is what Paul says to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So here is Paul telling Timothy that even though you are young, Timothy was going to become a pastor of the church of Ephesus. And even though Timothy is very young at the time, Paul says, you already got those goods. You had the character. So don't look at your age as an issue of, I don't have a character. Even how young you are in faith, parents, we can help our kids to have those character. That's what Paul says to Timothy in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The way we want to raise our kids or help our kids is not that we want our kids' behavior to validate our parenting. Sometimes that is the temptation. We use our children as an exhibition of how great a parent we are or how perfect a parent we are. The truth is, there's no such thing called a perfect parent. Now, all parents can say, phew, now you can relax. But we may not be called to be perfect parents, but we can be praying parents. Right, we can bring parents. And the third thing we can do is to pray for our children's future. Right, and here Proverbs 22 verse 8 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train here in Hebrew actually means look at your children's abilities and talents. Give them chance to grow and develop their abilities and talents, and then help them to fulfill all that potential God has given them. Amen? Now, we should look at our children's gift and talent. So, too often, we can put gift and talent the first thing and not a character. But I think it is like an interchangeable thing that we want them to have good character so that as we so-called able to spot their talents and abilities, we want to help them to fulfill it. Right? Sometimes, those of us from Asian family, you know, our kids only have three talents, medicine, accounting, and engineering, and then nothing else. Right? Those of you who are Asian, you know what I'm saying, that you know, we want our kids just to have a high-paying job. And sometimes the truth is, as a pastor, I counsel some of your kids, they have no talent to be doctors, to be accountants or engineer. But you really unpack in their heart, God has given them dreams even beyond us. But sometimes we think, if my child have a good job or a respectable salary, well, they're going to set for life. You can set them for life, but they can be miserable because they're not fulfilling those things God has written in their heart. That's why some of our children sometimes change their career along the way. Right? Just like I come across people who study in university, they change their major four times. That means somehow along the way, they have not come to a point they are walking according to the path God has set in their heart. So in one sense, this is where it is that we need to train our child in a way he should go. So when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's not about us wanting them to go a certain way. One of the things about praying for our children's future is start to pray for your children's future spouse. On the day Amanda was born, on the day Ned was born, together with Joanne, we prayed that they will have a wonderful life partner. I always tell Amanda, I need a son-in-law that can get along with me. And Amanda often say, I'm afraid, Papa, one day you spend more time with my husband and my husband spend more time with you. I say, what's wrong with that? Right? Why? It's important to pray for their future spouse so that two, right, is better than one, isn't it? When two of them walk together, they share a great reward. It's not about them having a fruitful marriage, but you want your children to find a good partner in life. Today, statistics tells us 50% of Christian marriage sometimes end in divorce. Even for the other 50% who is not divorced, sometimes their marriage is not in the best place. It can be a dysfunctional marriage, you get what I'm saying. So if we want to pray for our children, one of the best gifts we can pray, they will find the right life partner. Not just compatible, but a partner who walks together, that they share a reward for their labor together, isn't it? Because if their marriage is intact, their marriage is blessed, and because we pray together with God, it's not just your kids, but your grandchildren. You leave behind a very godly legacy. Isn't it true? So you will not have to worry about, oh, if my kids end up not having a happy marriage, my grandchildren will suffer. Right? And so most of us, something caught in that kind of loop altogether. So if those of us right now must begin to bear in mind that if we have a great marriage or our marriage is not in the best place, it's never too late to pray. Some of you say, oh, my kids are already grown up, or my kids already have their own children. Because we are in the grace of God. When we are in the grace of God, it's never too late to fix things through His grace. Amen? It's never too late to start over again. The Bible is full of stories about people who start again and again and again because they trust in the grace of God, isn't it? So don't think that, oh, now I missed the chance. I should pray for my kids 69 years ago. Now it's too late. The thing is, it's never too late to start praying. Because when you pray, remember, you are participating with God. And when God is in it, God can so-called increase your time. God can increase the opportunity. God can create circumstances that can turn situation around for your family. So don't think it's too late. It's never too late when you operate in the principle of the grace of God. I know of a mother whose name was called Monica. And Monica was a very godly woman. But Monica came from a very dysfunctional marriage. Her husband was unfaithful. And she has a wayward son. The son was very smart. The son's name was Augustine. And Augustine was a smart boy. At 17 years old, he already goes to a law school. And he was on the way to be a great lawyer. But Augustine was a very playful and sometimes a very terrible person. What he loves to do, Augustine, as he grows up, he loves to go to his neighbor's pear's farm. And he likes to pluck all his neighbor's unripe pears and start throwing at pigs. So in one sense, he destroyed the harvest of the neighbor's pears, but at the same time, he bruised all the pigs in the neighborhood. And at a young age, Augustine also joined a cult group, what I call a form of Scientology of his time. Right? So Augustine was a terrible person. And he was also very immoral. He has many girlfriends, slept around with many women, and have a son born out of wedlock, and he also kept a mistress. Monica prays for her husband, and her husband actually one day gave her his life to the Lord, and she was so happy. But she prayed for Augustine the longest time. She saw no changes in that sense, but she never gave up praying. And one day she went to the church and began to pray, and she prayed, she also started to weep, right? Calling up to the Lord to hear her prayers. And so happened, the bishop was there at the time, and the bishop could hear her prayers. And the bishop came and gave her a prophetic word. He said, The child of those tears shall never perish. The child of those tears shall never perish. If you can cry for your children, he shall not, or she shall not perish. And Augustine one day came back to visit Monica, and they have a huge garden. And Augustine was walking in the garden. Augustine began to hear some singing by a little child. And this song was something that was very beautiful, but she never quite caught hold of the title, because those days they haven't had Shazam, so he doesn't know the title of the song. But the song, the lyrics goes something like, take and read, take and read, take and read. And that was like very fascinating for him. Somehow he suspected this must be God calling him to read something. And it so happened in a garden, he found Paul's epistle to the Roman on the bench. And so he picked it up and he flipped, you know, like the scripture like all godly people do. He flipped all the scripture and find a verse that we begin to read. And his eyes spotted from Romans chapter 13, verse 13 to 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And those words of Paul convicted him, and Augustine gave his life to God. And Augustine, if you know through history, he's a great man of God. After the Apostle Paul, Augustine is one of the greatest Christians ever lived. And he formulated actually the theology of the Trinity in its clearest form. That today, you know, after more than 1700 years, the church, whether we are Catholic or not Catholic, we benefited from Augustine's formula of the Trinity. But Augustine actually set a whole new bedrock of understanding of the faith for Western Christianity. Here is Monica. All he wanted was for her son to be saved. Isn't it? But little did Monica knew, the salvation of the son did not just stop there. What she prayed for was God went beyond her prayers, because we have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or pray. Because here is a mother who prays for the son's salvation, but the son's salvation impacted the whole world. Mothers and fathers, grandparents, even brothers and siblings or anyone, when we pray for someone, do not just think, as I say, we are just praying our opinions. But we pray according to the revelation of God. We may pray for someone to be saved. We may pray for them to come back to the Lord. But do you know the implication of our prayers can actually release these people to change the whole world? Even if you can't see it, even sometimes you can't believe it, God has them in his heart. And God has written eternity in their hearts. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't stop praying. All right? And sometimes, as I say, and Paul said it as well, sometimes we do not know what to pray. And sometimes we just need to ask. And sometimes, this is what I do. I always ask God, Lord, how do you want me to pray for Amanda? How do you want me to pray for Ned? Sometimes I also ask God how to pray for different church members. And I begin to pray, God begin to give me impression or pictures of person, begin to see them where they are down the road. And so there are times where I pray, I become so fully persuaded, I can come boldly to someone and say, this is what's going to happen to your situation. This is what's going to happen in your life. And this is what now we want to invest and journey with you. I think this is something about first light as a culture we need to adopt, isn't it? That we pray for each other to a place. It's not just pray for them, but pray with God to a place we are able to empower them to where God's calling them to. And so, as moms, I just encourage you, when you pray, God will change your opinions about your children to a prophetic image of who they are to him and what they will become through him. So pray on, pray for, pray through, but don't stop praying, right? Learn the example of Monica, where we can pray just for a return of our sons and daughter, God praying for a greater release through their life. And your prayer, every utterance, whether it is short or long, God will answer your prayers, because he will agree with you when you pray in the eternal heart of God into each of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise at this time. Father, we thank you this morning. Once again, for all mothers and grandmothers, godmothers, mom-to-be, that Father, that your word will not return back to you empty. But your word will strengthen them and help them, that even as we celebrate motherhood, we celebrate a prophetic heart for every mother. That Father, take away that fear, take away any sense of being disappointed with themselves if they feel they are not being great moms. Lord, take away the expectation, because that is not what you call them to be. You call them first to rest in Jesus Christ, to learn to pray. And part of parenting, church, is about praying for people that we love. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you release a fresh spirit once again to a whole new season of parenthood in First Light Church. It's never too late to pray. Right? Remember, church, it's never too late to pray because we are people of grace and God gives us His grace. But Father, I just pray right now for every mothers. From today, there's a new beginning in their journey with their children. That they are not one that feels the weight and pressure, feeling that their identity is rested on how they raise their kids, but their identity is rest in Jesus Christ. But their identity will flow into the lives of their children in Jesus' name. That Father, we pray for a generation that is on the rise. Those who had a privilege to raise in this house. That every kid, Lord, that in this house, they will not be lost. But they will walk and know you. We pray for those sons and daughters who seems afar. And Lord, you know our aches, you know our pain. And Lord, for every one of them, remind us the story of Monica and Augustine. With you, all things are possible. And so we call out for our sons and daughters that they'll return. We call them out from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. That Lord, on this day, there is a conviction of their heart to know they have a God who never leaves them or forsake them. But we pray for a turning around. We pray for that sense of that sin journey comes to an end by a beginning of faith once again. That Father, we also pray, we honor all our mothers in our midst. The Lord continue to give them the grace, the joy, the love. In Jesus' name, church, in Jesus' name, Amen.